I'm Jackie Vetrano from Skidmore College.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social.
So yeah, I kind of like CB Craft Brewers, and CB stands for Craft Brewers, so it's kind of recursive beer.
How is it?
It's delicious. It's a Western New York beer.
Nice.
It's actually from your neck of the woods.
Oh, really?
And really?
Some really good stuff.
I assume you meant there, Buffalo and not Nashville.
Honey Oy Falls.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Not so Nashville.
Buffalo-ish. No. Closer to Buffalo than to Nashville.
Yeah, probably. So how are you, Mark?
I'm
doing great. I've caught up a little bit on my sleep. I had actually done a pretty good job of catching up on my sleep from High Ed Web, which I've been back from for a little over a week, except then I had a little bit of a veterinary crisis at 5 a.m. Friday that clobbered me for the last couple of days.
Oh no.
But I got a good night's sleep last night, and I'm optimistic that Carter will be okay. We'll see.
What's wrong?
Oh, poor little man has a tiny tumor in his ear that started bleeding at 5 in the morning, which
A
pretty dramatic thing to have happen at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
But we're going in for a surgical consult on Tuesday, and I hear the folks at the place I'm taking him are excellent. So, fingers crossed. Lots more details and pictures of a miserable-looking puppy are on Facebook if you care to take a peek.
You really know how to sell it, Mark.
Yeah, well, he's awfully cute even when he looks sad. Maybe especially when he looks sad.
Most animals, I think, always look cute.
He's been wearing the cone of shame so that he can't paw off the bandages, and he really does not like that. So
they
actually, just
don't.
Before I hopped on with you fine people, I went and borrowed a friend's inflatable Kong Cloud, which is sort of like an inflatable beach toy, except it's an inflatable ring to go around the pet's neck. And it's a little less annoying for them than the cone, or so I hear. We'll see.
Interesting. Well, I hope he gets better.
Thank you. Me too. He's such a good little boy.
Yeah.
So we were super lucky to get to see Mark 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago at Hyatt Web?
Week and a half ago.
Week and a half. And that's kind of why there wasn't an episode 2 weeks ago, is because we were kind of in the throes of High Ed Web, and I presented, and Jackie presented as well, so we just were a little overwhelmed preparing for that. At least I was.
I still think we should have done a live episode, or at least record one at the conference. We should do that next year.
Definitely, yeah. On the list of things to do. And it never happened. Sorry, yeah. Listeners.
Yeah, I had a whole plan on how to record everything, and didn't work out so well. Sorry about that. But it was a great conference. Many things happened. I did a lot of, well, it was, I actually did workshops this time. I did one of the academies, the Leadership Academy, so I was, it was longer than it usually was, and I didn't realize how much it would tire me out by the time it was over. So, 2 days, a day and a half of sessions before the 2 days of sessions is a lot.
Yeah, that sounds even more exhausting than my version, which was plenty exhausting. And one of the things that I
took a lot of photos.
Yep, lots and lots of photos. One of the things that I commented to my boss when I got back is that it was both exhausting and exhilarating and energizing all at the same time. And so I came back to Ithaca with an enormous amount of energy and inspiration from this group. And that really feels good. It felt like it was a very good investment.
Mm-hmm. When I got back, everybody, I feel like, wrote some sort of like blog post or Facebook status about how great it was and how much fun they had and all the great things they learned. And I wrote this piece on Medium about why it's so important to find your professional tribe. And I think that conferencing is definitely the best way to do that. And I've realized that even though this is my third conference, I have met so many people via this, just this conference alone, that work in this field. And it's so cool.
Absolutely agreed. I think a lot of the people that were at High Ed Web last week are some of the folks that I actually met for the first time when Cornell hosted a High Ed Web regional. Was that back in 2009? I think it was. So
yeah,
8 years ago, we hosted a regional, and that's when I first met quite a few of these folks and started connecting with a lot of these people. I got to a regional in Rochester as well. That must have been 2012.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I was probably unemployed at the time. So that was probably during the stretch that I was in between jobs. I was laid off from my IT job at the beginning of 2012 and started working in my communications and marketing job in July of 2012. So got to see a lot of the same folks in Rochester as well. And then I was lucky enough to go to Buffalo for the first national version of the conference that I had been to. Though I figured out last year, that's right, that's where I met Jackie. And I don't think you were at that one, Logan, were you?
Yes,
in Buffalo?
I was.
That's where I met Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense. Okay. I just didn't manage to connect with you at that point. But the I figured out last year that I had actually been to the predecessor of High Ed Web in 2001. That was Web Dev Share at Indiana University in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't realized that it was actually the same conference, just renamed and aimed a little differently.
Yeah, I've been to every High Ed Web for the last 9 years.
Whoa. Starting with Vegas?
Starting with 2009. No, Vegas was a different conference. That was Staymates.
Oh, okay.
It was a Staymates conference. But, you know, that actual Staymates conference was probably the glue that binded, like, a lot of my friendships together, at least with folks that work in higher ed. We did a lot of activities together while we were in Vegas. Went to some shows, went to restaurants, and I really got to know some people really, really well and become really good friends with them. And it was a conference that changed things.
Well, that's nice.
It was a really good conference.
I'm glad.
One of the things that I love about High Ed Web is that it isn't just the educational aspect and the business aspect, and that it is an opportunity to get together in social settings, both as organized events like the welcome reception that gives us a chance to welcome some of the newcomers and reconnect with folks we've seen before, and at the big social event, which was very creative this year. I think the science museum where we all got to run around playing with science exhibits as if we were 9 years old again was a really good choice. But also some of the less official or quasi-official things like karaoke playing. I mean, that's almost official at this point. That's become a real tradition along with High Ed Web. Mm-hmm. But also just getting together with people for a cup of coffee in between sessions, or the groups going out for a bite to eat at the fun places we've heard about.
Mm-hmm.
Even some of the vendors have done a nice job of coming up with social events that are worth being part of. The photo walk that the Libris folks hosted this year was just terrific. It was an unexpected pleasure to walk around downtown Hartford with a couple dozen people I'd never met before, a couple of people I had met, but mostly people that I'd never met, had no connection with. Mm-hmm. And we were just checking out cool things and seeing what was worth taking photos of. And we got some pretty cool photos of downtown Hartford.
Yeah, I remember seeing they did that last year. And I just thought it was such a cool idea. Have you guys been to any other conferences where you've met folks that maybe also go to Hyatt Webb or just a different group of people?
I used to go to Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, and that was much more of a focus on the sessions all day and then disperse in the evening, with a couple of exceptions. I guess there were a couple of vendors that hosted invite-only events, some of which were pretty enlightening or entertaining or useful. Mostly it was about pouring alcohol into people. And there's some entertainment value to that, but
I suppose
it shouldn't, as far as I'm concerned, be the whole point of any social gathering attached to a useful conference. Like the Libris folks bought us all drinks at the happy hour after the photo walk, but I think the point of the event was the photo walk.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I was at, I went to Inbound, which is a conference hosted by HubSpot, and it was in Boston this year. And what I really loved, and Mark, you mentioned it a little bit with Hyatt Webb, but at Inbound, they had a separate happy hour at a local bar for, they called it Inbound Solo. So it was for anyone who was coming alone, either like for the first time or just they were the only one from their organization. So it was nice because you walk in, it's nice to say that, like, you know, Hyatt Webb offered all these great social events and it's an opportunity to chat with people. But sometimes in those settings, you know, people already have their groups of friends that they've met in previous conferences or what have you. But at this solo event, it was really cool because it was like walking into like a bunch of blind dates. Like everyone was there by themselves. Everyone was in the same boat. And I made some new friends that I could have throughout the conference and like I'm still in touch with now. So it's a cool idea. I think every conference does it differently, but I think networking is the key, even in like a very, very relaxed social way and not like a, you know, here's my business card, you know, send me an email kind of way.
Absolutely. It sounds like that could get kind of contrived or feel uncomfortable for people who you're trying to throw together. But I think we somehow manage at Hyatt Webb to have a good combination of hanging out with the people you've known for years and roping the new people into the conversations. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's a matter of, hey, here's this cool person I just met. Let's make sure they're having a good time too.
Yeah. I was an ambassador this time. So at our first social event, I kind of hung out and met a lot of the newbies that had come to the conference for the first time. And that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that.
But also I thought that seemed a little contrived and a little, isolating. It felt for a little while as though the people in that back room didn't have the opportunities to mingle maybe as much as they could have.
Hmm.
I don't know. If it worked as far as you can tell, then
I think it warmed them up to the idea of, you know, hanging out, meeting folks, that we're not all scary people and that we will walk up and talk to you and hopefully you can, yeah. And, you can also walk up and talk to anyone. That was kind of the idea. It's not like we closed the door and said you couldn't go out. A lot of them did. But a lot of them stayed and kind of sat down and started talking with each other and then came back out and mingled with people more after that.
That's certainly a good start.
The other thing too is it was real. I feel like it was probably really overwhelming for people to come into a situation like that have never been to a conference before, because that social event was really crowded and really overwhelming. And even me, someone who is a veteran of this thing, I get overwhelmed sometimes. I know I got overwhelmed when I was in Memphis, but and I had to go outside and kind of get some air. But yeah,
it's just like the opportunity for that, like that commonality. Like it gives you a starting point. Granted, the starting point with anyone who works in higher ed is what school are you from? And then you go from there. But I think putting people together by this like very loose, broad category of, hey, you're new, helps some folks have some ice breaking conversation.
We also sounds gave like, them free stuff.
Oh, well, what? Free stuff is always good.
I didn't get free stuff.
Yeah, free stuff. We had some giveaways and stuff for them too. So that was kind of nice.
As well as the beer, of course.
Of course.
Yes, the beer is always worth it. Always worth it for the beer.
So switching gears a little bit, how have you been doing, Mark? It's actually been well over 2 years, like 2.5 years since you've been on the show. In fact, you were on the show with us when we were just starting out.
I was in a pretty early episode and we talked a lot about food.
Yes, we did.
It was one of the better food episodes, Mark.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I think you're up against Dave Cameron, truthfully, because he had a sous vide in his episode.
I really enjoyed listening to that just a couple of weeks ago. I had heard it before, but as you commented earlier, Logan, before we got online tonight, I've really done a lot of catching up on the Higher Ed Social podcast.
Yeah, there have been 90 episodes since your episode, or 90-ish.
That's insane.
I know, right?
That's pretty crazy. Logan, we have 90 new friends.
I know, right?
It's insane. Awesome. And it's awesome. It's really a great body of work. And I'm not just saying that. I think it's a great set of conversations. It's information, it's insight. And I really got to listen to quite a bit of it over the last few weeks. And one of the reasons for that is that I have a new car that makes it much easier to listen to podcasts.
Oh, CarPlay. Really? I love me some CarPlay.
Okay, I have problems with CarPlay, but you go first, Mark, because I also just got a new car that has CarPlay.
I have problems with CarPlay, too. It's very flaky, mm-hmm. but I love that it exists.
Yes.
It's a 2017 Honda CR-V.
Okay.
And there are lots of things that I love about it. And the fact that it makes it easier to see a list of episodes that I haven't listened to, navigate between podcasts, and just binge listen to a whole bunch of episodes that I haven't already done makes it a real win. Because I had a previous CR-V that was capable of playing music from an iPod or an iPhone, and was capable of doing podcasts, but it wasn't very good at it. I could see the podcasts on my phone if I had it hooked up, but I kind of had to synchronize it all separately. And now it's much, much smoother. Despite all the glitches, it makes it possible for me to listen to this podcast, the Disco Track podcast, which is an after each episode of Star Trek Discovery podcast that some really cool people are recording live after each episode airs of Star Trek Discovery on Sunday nights.
Yes, which is just went live just now. Actually, no, it went live an hour ago, so I'll have to watch that after this. Anyway,
I'm a couple of episodes of Discovery behind. I haven't watched anything since before High Ed Web.
Well, the episode that was last week was made up for the episode the week before. Not that it was bad. It just it actually like came full circle, so it made me happy. Okay. But we don't have to talk about Star Trek right now. For the sake of Jackie,
we can say that I'll just for sit here. Trek folks.
For me, CarPlay, I have a car with CarPlay and a car without CarPlay, and like I never want to go back, though I have to, because GTI doesn't have it, but Golf does. But I really, I admit it's glitchy, on certain things, but I really like having the NPR One app, like, right there. Because, you know, I'm an NPR listener, and it's really cool to be able to listen to it, just like it's, like, on the radio, but if there's something I don't want to listen to, like, I don't know, StoryCorps, I can just hit next, and then, you know, because I don't need to cry every Friday. I really do enjoy the NPR One app a lot, especially during, like, giving time, because then you don't get all the giving commercials. So there's that. Man, that sounds horrible, doesn't it?
Escaping the pledge drives is a nice way to listen to NPR.
Yes, yes, it does. I mean, there's always one ask during every drive to work, but, you know, that's fine. And I talk to Siri a lot. She'll give me...
That sounds so sad, Logan.
No, it's not sad. Anyway, moving on. Anyway, I love CarPlay. It's awesome. It's how I binge listen to podcasts, too. But it also has an Audible app, so I can listen to, you know, my audiobooks and iBooks, too, wherever I buy my iBooks. I mean, my audiobooks, because I buy them from both places, usually wherever's cheaper.
Amazon Music as well. I like that I can listen to my Amazon Music collection in the car very easily.
And Spotify, too. Okay, it's actually kind of awesome.
When are we getting product placement for this? Talking about CarPlay.
That's an excellent question.
Are we getting paid?
Well, now we can talk about how awful it is.
That is true.
Well, there is one question that I have, and this is just me.
Is it about what you should look for in a new car? Because I have a related story about that.
Yeah, how in the world do you have a car that came with CarPlay but didn't come with cruise control?
Don't spoil. Tell your story. Let me tell this story. So I just got a new car as well, Mark, a 2017 Chevy Trax, which is in your CRV family of cars. And my dad ended up picking up the car for me just because of a turn of events. And he gave me a call when he picked it up and he said, "Hey, did you test drive this thing?" And I said, "Yeah, it was really nice. Why? Do you not like the way it drives?" And he goes, "No, it drives great, but you don't have cruise control." Who doesn't put cruise control in a car that has power windows, a backup camera, Bluetooth? It has its own damn Wi-Fi, but it does not have cruise control. Who does that? No one does that except Chevy. So listeners, if you are looking at a car, make sure you see the button for cruise control, because it is so, so sad when you get a shiny new car and there's no cruise control.
Does it honestly not have cruise control?
I swear to you, Mark, it does not have cruise control.
Did you call up the dealer and say, "Hey, you forgot my cruise control. I want my cruise control."
Yep, and they said, "Oh yeah, that one doesn't have a cruise control."
I would say, "Okay, here's your car back.
Here's your car back." That's what I said. I said to my father, I said, "Take it back." But we rectified the situation. And when I say we, I mean my dad, because he's a wonderful, wonderful person. And he found out that even though it is a lease, I could have cruise control installed. So you can install cruise control after the fact, which I think is its own issue on its own. But I now have cruise control, but not because it came with my car.
Did they make you pay for it?
The cruise control or the installation?
Either.
Both, yes.
I would have said, "Sorry, it's 2017, not 1958, and I'm not taking a car that you did not explicitly warn me. Sorry, yep. This does not have cruise control."
And you know,
we just want you to be aware.
Chevy came at us with a $10,000 sponsorship spot, and I said, "Nope, because you didn't give me cruise control." So that's how mad I am.
Right.
It happened.
It didn't happen.
Definitely happened. Logan's lying. It happened. That's how mad I am. But anyway.
So what is this Chevy that no one should ever buy?
A Chevy Trax.
Trax with an X.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, look it up. It's actually quite an adorable car. And otherwise is very nice. But a fundamental...
Have you named it yet?
No, I have not come up with a name yet. I'm a little stuck for it. I got to get some feels. But me and the car, as I call it now, have a wonderful time to get to know each other. I will be departing for Springfield, Massachusetts in a couple of days to present at a conference. and I am driving in the car. So I think in that time, I will really get to know the car and give it a name.
Well, and if you're getting back on the highway, thank goodness it has cruise control now, because yes, otherwise,
that would be torture. I had to drive it from Buffalo to Albany. That is a 5-hour drive. Could you imagine going 5 hours on 90 without cruise control? That is torture, my friend.
If Buffalo to Albany is 5 hours, you may be doing it wrong.
4 hour, 4.5. I normally take a pit stop, get some lunch, stop at my favorite rest stop, eat Sparrow. It's lovely.
I know that rest stop.
It's a great one.
Go figure.
It's great. Yeah, it's right near, well, kind of near you. It's past Syracuse.
Yeah.
But anyway, we wanted to have you back on the show, Mark, because you just binge listened. And basically, we need you to do a couple things. One, convince our listeners to also do the same thing. Two, tell our listeners the best episodes they should listen to. Obviously, yours is the first one.
Obviously, mine. Obviously, Dave Cameron's.
Dave Cameron's is pretty quality. Did you hear the special bonus content of Dave Cameron's?
I don't know. Was it part of the file?
It was.
Yes.
Did I have to download something separate?
No, you just had to listen all the way after the theme music.
You had to listen all the way through.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Sometimes we hide little special gifts for our listeners all the way at the end.
I love those little tidbits.
Yes, it's lovely. Dave's, I think, is the winner for sure.
There might be a little tidbit at the end of this one.
Oh, I hope.
I also
just a warning to the listeners, you might want to, if you have an iPhone, you might want to like not have it near the speaker.
Oh, we could be devious with that, couldn't we?
We could.
I also really loved the episode with Ashley Budd. First, because she was a great guest, and second, because she was talking about an organization that I'm very familiar with as a customer, as you might say. I'm an alum and of Cornell University, and since she works for Alumni Affairs and Development in the Advancement Organization, I got to hear some insight of the things that she was working on from a perspective that I wouldn't necessarily recognize just being a user out in the real world interacting with the organization. So that was cool for me, but also I think it was very valuable just in general for the higher ed community.
Also, congratulations to Ashley Budd on her
cute kiddo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Adorable baby. Mm-hmm. And I realize most babies are adorable, but boy, that's an adorable baby.
We won't include pictures because it's Ashley's child and that would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
Right.
But congratulations either way.
Yes.
Is there another episode?
Oh, I really enjoyed the Dustin Ramsdell episode. Was that the one with the lightsaber?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was a good episode.
I felt that really should have had more lightsaber sound effects just to be more authentic.
Just a note, Logan, for future lightsaber episodes.
Yes.
This is where you should be editing lightsaber noises in right now. And now. And also now. Doing this for the listener.
The last episode that I listened to on my way into Hartford was your Apple Watch review. And I'm actually curious, over 2 years later now, almost, well, I guess about 2.5 years later, you've both been using Apple Watches for quite some time. And I'm curious how that experience has evolved for you.
I'll go first because Logan's is going to be so long. So you're actually wrong, Mark. I stopped using my Apple Watch, I would guess, almost a year ago. I technically still have it, and it's up for sale if anyone is interested. But I use it pretty much exclusively as a running watch because I've been too lazy to buy a new one. But yes, I actually stopped using it because it was making me a little bit crazy. Do you wear, Mark, a smartwatch of sorts?
I wear a dumb watch. I wear a Swatch Skin.
Ooh.
It does not even have numbers.
Whoa.
Actually, it has very, very tiny numbers, marking the minutes, but there are no hour numbers on here. There's no secondhand. It is a very thin, very light watch. And one of my hesitations to get an Apple Watch has been that I'm used to thin and light and watch battery that lasts for 2.5 years.
This is so interesting. Mark's going to go first. If you have a watch that does not tell time, why do you have a watch?
It does tell time.
But you just have to like look really hard?
I just have to look at the watch hands and okay.
Oh, the orientation of the hand. Oh, okay. Right. I thought that it also didn't have hands. And I was like, what does it do?
No.
Why do you wear it?
That would be called a bracelet.
Also
no, it's a watch, and I'll give you a picture to include in the show notes of my Swatch Skin, which is an awesome, awesome watch. And it really is ludicrously thin and light. But I've been able to tell time for quite a few years now, and you can just look at where the big hand and the little hand are pointing and have a pretty good idea of what time it is. And if I need to be really, really precise, there are other things I can look at that will tell me the exact time to the second. Right. But this is pretty close.
That's really cool. I have never heard of that.
Hmm.
So I disconnected from my Apple Watch because it was making me a little bit crazy because I was really obsessed with the tiny exercise circles and the stand circle and the minutes exercise circle and especially the calorie circle. And it just made me a little nutso. And also like I really hate being so connected. I was getting notifications for emails from work and text messages and phone calls. And I think a couple apps in there, like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And then I said, well, I can't really interact with a like Twitter notification or an Instagram notification because it wasn't supported on the watch. I don't even know if it is. Is it supported now, Logan? Can you do anything with like a tweet? I doubt it.
Yes.
Oh.
I would imagine you can at least do something like it or retweet it. Kind of the way you can.
Yeah, I don't think when
the
I
notification
first started,
center
you could
on the
do it.
Phone.
I think you could just like see it, and that was it.
The watch has gotten a lot better. You can respond to things now because you can just kind of write stuff on the watch with your finger. I don't seem to have the Twitter app installed on my watch, probably because I really don't care about getting notifications from Twitter all the time, and I've actually kind of cut back on the number of apps that are on my watch.
I don't know. I disconnected to end my story. I disconnected because it made me insane, and my life has been significantly better for it. So that's where I'm at.
Maybe I should borrow your watch and consider buying it from you.
Yeah, I can lease
it. Makes me
I can lease,
crazy
lease
as
you
well.
Out. Yeah, you want to lease it out? It's got a nice. I've got a couple different bands.
Let's
if
talk.
Like to try those. Yeah, for sure.
At the very least, you could keep the bands. But yeah, I just use mine. I use mine for exercise stuff. And I use it for paying for stuff, which is kind of cool. Since Belmont's drink machines all take Apple Pay, I can just boop and not have to carry around change with me.
I do love
dangerous.
Apple Pay.
Apple Pay is lovely.
I've been doing that on my phone. And doing it on the watch, I think, would be a next level of cool. But the phone itself, paying with the phone was really cool. When I went on a vacation in Northern Europe and Scandinavia this summer, a couple of the people that I waved my phone at their little terminal were flabbergasted that you could do that. They had no idea that their terminals were set up to do Apple Pay. And I find that hard to believe in tourist spots like hotel bars, how could I possibly be the first person to ever wave my phone at a terminal to pay for a drink? But sure enough, I was.
I mean, the two things that I use it most for beyond working out stuff is just to tell me what my next appointment is and the weather, because I'm always obsessed with the temperature outside, and news alerts.
News alerts are good. News, I get a lot of this on my phone, and I think it would be nice to be able to glance at my watch instead. And so that's one of the things that I've considered. I know the Dark Sky app, which I use constantly on my phone, as well as on my iPad, and even on my Mac.
It definitely buzzes you when it's about to rain, the Dark Sky app.
And as a dog owner, I have found Dark Sky to be invaluable because I can look and see, when is it going to be raining? Do I have to walk the dogs right now? And it will say, hey, it's going to be raining in 20 minutes. And I can say, all right, now is when I'm walking the dogs. I can get them out. And I think partly it hasn't been a very wet summer, or the rain has been more at night than during the day. But also I think I've gotten really good at using Dark Sky to decide when to walk the dog. So we haven't really gotten wet much this year.
Yeah. And the final thing is Fandango and airplane tickets. No more pulling out my phone to get on a plane.
You buy airplane tickets on your watch?
You can just
check in
with your watch, yeah. Which is pretty awesome. I've only seen a few other people do it. Right now it's about 50-50 phone. Well, actually no. About a third of people are using their phone to check in, and the other two-thirds are using their ticket, their physical ticket. And I just use my watch and magic.
For the record, even though I have a phone and I know how it works, I'm still the paper ticket person. Always. I never use my phone.
Yeah, after I was like that too, and then I tried it and was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, so. It's pretty cool.
I have two things. One is a comment and one is a question. One, the thing about the Apple Watch for me is that I felt when I was using it, and I kind of noticed this with other people who use Apple Watches, and I'm not like just targeting Logan because we just talked about this, but I've noticed that people who have smart tech on their wrist are easily distracted. So I can't tell you how many times I've done it myself or someone has done this to me where I'm in the middle of a conversation and their wrist buzzes and they immediately check it. And it's just like a weird, it's a little bit of a social construct because I think people do that with their phones too, where like they'll get a text message and they're talking to someone face to face and they'll just pull out their phone even though it's not an emergency in any situation. And then secondly is my question is if, like, I don't understand why wrist technology has kind of worked, whereas the Google Glass concept did not work.
Because Google Glass is a lot more noticeable?
Well, also Google Glass is very intrusive. That's not just a matter of you having access to your information. That's a matter of everyone in front of you being on display if you care to share what's in front of you.
Have you also ever put on a Google Glass before?
No.
It essentially shoots a light directly onto your retina, and it's really weird and really disorienting. And I have a feeling that has something to do with it too. People wear watches. So it's a little.
People wear glasses. I wear glasses.
Yeah, but they don't look like glasses. They look like you're wearing a cyborg thing on your head.
I mean, I guess I'm with you that it doesn't. I mean, you kind of look like an idiot. But it's just interesting that, like, if Logan can't bear the thought of pulling out his phone to check into a plane, like, who's to say that you're in Google Glass, you don't just look at a, like, you're wearing them, and you just look at a scanner, and it's like, boop, you're in. Like, that's easier than moving your wrist.
Is it? Because then you have to, like, turn your head and get under that laser, and then have the laser, like, shoot in your eye?
Clearly, you would not have to go under the laser.
I slide down, and I tap my ticket, and then, boom, it works.
Right, but on your Google Glass, you would just get it pulled up on your glass, and then you'd look at a screen or something, and you'd be in. Or you wouldn't even have to look at something specific. You'd, like, walk under a reader the same way when you go through, like, the Easy Pass lane. It, like, catches the tag. You, like, don't even have to look at anything. It just scans it automatically.
Well, might as well embed a chip in your arm.
I think that's happening. That's like a thing. There's some companies that have them like have chips in their arms so that they can like pay for vending machines or something.
A transponder. Yeah, I think there's enough pushback on that I don't think it's going to go very far.
No.
All of my cats definitely have chips.
Mine doesn't.
You should get her one.
Yours doesn't want to run outside.
No, this one. Casey can't run very far. She's not going anywhere.
Anyway. Well, that was a very interesting discussion about Apple Watches.
Yes. But I think we're all out of time.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mark, for joining us.
Yeah, we're super glad you could come on.
It's a pleasure. But one thing I have to ask, are we sitting in Logan's closet?
Yes, we are. I mean, excellent. It's just a given. Expect that. I mean, the sound baffling is awesome.
Ever since the Logan's Closet episode, I have been looking forward to getting back on the show for exactly that reason.
Well, normally now, after the show ends, we allow everyone to try on everything in Logan's closet.
That explains why everyone seems so happy after being on this podcast.
It's great. It's so wonderful. It's a lot of fun.
Listeners, head down to highered.social and get links to the stuff we talked about today and all the episodes that Mark mentioned. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you like the show, please give us a review.
Don't forget to follow HES Podcast on Twitter.
Thanks, Mark. Mark's an old pro.
And thanks, listeners, for listening to Higher Ed Social. I mean, I say, hey, Siri, take me home. And then she gives me directions home without...
Wink, wink.
I just activated Siri. Stop it. Okay. Well, that's the other problem. The thing that I like about CarPlay is, like, you know, it turns off Hey Siri on my watch and on my phone. So, you know, that's nice. Because sometimes neither... They fight over who's going to answer the Hey Siri. But I just did it again.
Man, I hope that you cut all this stuff out for our listeners, because they're probably not listening anymore.
No, I think it's
anymore.
An important object lesson.
I'm sorry, listeners. Logan's just a little obsessed with his phone.
Well, I'm sorry. I probably just set off all of your phones.
That's exactly it. Mark, just like the South Park episode that fired up everyone's... Was it Alexa or was it...
No, wasn't that like a real thing? Didn't the commercials start doing that? Yeah. And they had to pull the commercials? And I'm literally taking this from like a headline on Facebook I read one time.
Of course.
Like a good
consumer. As long as it wasn't put there by Russian hackers, it was probably true.
Don't get me started. Are we going to go down this road?
No,
I'm not talking about it.
How do you say hey Siri in Russian?
I don't know. Hey Siri?